Do you hate YouTube ads? Because I do. YouTube also recently jacked up the price of YouTube Premium to almost $20 a month. But I have good news. All of my videos are now available ad-free and a day early to my Patreon supporters. For $5 a month, you get early access ad-free. I upload 25 to 30 videos a month, so you're getting a really good deal. Enjoy the video.
I saw one of your videos, kind of like an attack on Kent Hovind. Do you think that's fair to make a video like that when, like, do you have, like,
people who harbor child molesters? Yes.
This is Kent Hovind, notorious evolution denier, convicted tax fraud, and domestic abuser. Hovind is good friends with this guy, a convicted child molester, who Hovind repeatedly allowed into his Dinosaur Adventureland theme park, fully knowing his convictions. Hovind allowed the convicted child molester to share a bed with an 11-year-old, a decision that Hovind fully stood by. When children aren't getting sexually abused in his park, they die. I don't know why Kent did this, but he's on TikTok. You can ask him yourself. In fact, in this pinned video, he provides contact information. Hovind is also good friends with this person.
I believe what the Bible says, that homosexuals should be executed. Let me make myself clear. I believe that, and I've never gone back on that for one second.
Does Kent agree?
What about where the Bible says that adulterers should be put to death, homosexuals, and things like that?
Absolutely, yes. Those, and witchcraft, those, according to the Bible, are death sentences.
So I'm just here to spread the good word that Kent Hovind is an absolute monster.
You should call them out. Why would you not? If somebody knowingly brought a child molester into their theme park and made them sleep with an 11-year-old boy, why would you think we shouldn't call that out?
Yeah, I agree that's wrong, but here's the thing. Do you know that to be true without a smidgen of doubt?
He didn't even doubt it. When he was asked for comment, he said, that's between the child molester and the boy.
Yeah, don't you think that could have been taken out of context?
No.
No? Have you actually, like, spoke with him?
I tried calling his hotline yesterday, but I don't think they're open on the weekends.
Yeah, because I just think it's unfair to, like, slander people or make these accusations without providing, like, real absolute proof against
the guy is a convicted person. Child molester, and Kent Hovind didn't even deny what happened.
Yeah, that just seems like out of his, like, he wouldn't do something like that. So I don't know. I would love for you to, like, just contact him and just clarify things instead of, like, making videos about someone, you know, and making these false or could be possibly false accusations.
Again, he didn't deny it, and we know for a fact that the guy is a convicted child molester. So,
all right. Well, you also said that he threw down a woman.
Yeah, his second wife. He's on his third one.
Has he been, like, criminally convicted of that charge?
I didn't find the paper trail for it. I didn't look for it, but he was what do you call it? Not charged, but is it charged and then convicted? I don't remember, but she came forward with the accusations and all that.
Well, did he even, like, press charges against him?
I'm not sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, you just can't make such claims. And
I agree, have, like, Jamal. We shouldn't claim that because a woman is abused and she tells the police, or sorry, you're 100% right. If a woman tells the police that she was abused, we shouldn't assume she's lying because that's a crime. It's a crime to lie to file a false police report. So you are right. We shouldn't assume that it's false.
Okay, so
you're 100% correct.
So the woman did file a police report against him.
Yeah.
But I guess they didn't find enough evidence to press charges. Is that what?
I don't know if charges were pressed or not. But like you said, we shouldn't assume that somebody is doing something criminal, and it would be criminal of her to file a false report. So we should go with that then.
Okay.
Why do you hate women so much? It's so funny.
What do you mean? What?
Oh, you're always slut shaming and stuff like that.
What are you talking about? I'm very pro women. I want women to be protected.
You're very women should do what I say.
Do what the Bible says. Has men should do as well.
Right.
I'm against.
I saw something super cringy the other day. This dude was doing this live stream, and he said women should want to wear these types of bathing suits, and it was just like, you know, like full body ones, not these ones, and they were wearing 2-piece bikinis. Right. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think women should dress modestly.
Do you think that men should wear t-shirts in the pool?
I think we should embrace modesty.
Okay, well, as long as you're consistent. I wish I would have asked you the other one first, because I think you would have tripped up.
I think we should like push back against this culture of like sexual objectifying people, especially women. Especially on social media, you know, I think it's pretty degrading and dehumanizing, in my opinion.
But well, aside from that, Morissette said, if it makes you happy, it can't be that bad. Although it can.
That's a horrible philosophy.
I don't know what that song is actually about, but I don't think the implication for the song is literally if anything makes you happy, you should do it. But we'll have to listen to the song sometime. On. That was Sheryl Crow. Oh, shows what I know. Anyways, you want to...
I listen to Christian music, so I wouldn't know.
Oh, like
but
Creed?
Aside from that, that's not Christian.
Yes, it is. Creed. Yes, it
I
is.
I mean, they claim to be Christian, but I just don't
feel
the
are.
Anointing from the music.
They like, literally are. They have a song about going to heaven.
Yeah, but do they really like glorify Jesus? It doesn't seem like it. They seem like they claim to be Christian just to tap into the Christian market to sell more records. You know, it's all about money.
Okay.
So, but aside from that, have you found an explanation to how the DNA code came about? Like who put that code there?
Nobody put it anywhere. It's chemistry.
Yeah, I know it's chemistry, just like the pen on your paper is ink, but it's still a code, right? It's still a language.
It's a molecule.
Yeah, so is the ink on your paper, but it conveys a message, right? Have you come to arrived to an explanation to how I got there?
I just choose to believe that a book that's been translated by hacks across thousands of years that tells a story of a magical sky being put it there. That's what I believe.
All right. So you still haven't found an explanation. Can I encourage you to seek how that code came about? Because
you have no idea how that code came about.
I mean, I can infer it came from some intelligent designer.
I can infer that it came about through natural chemical processes.
Okay. Well,
now, here's what we know for a fact. That is exactly how DNA operates today. A miracle does not happen when the cell divides or reads its DNA. If it was a miracle, we couldn't understand it.
Well, I think just knowing the fact that all codes come from an intelligent design that we know of,
it's not a code.
We just don't see codes.
It's not a code,
bro. I educated you on this before, and you're still denying the fact that it is a literal code.
It's not a literal code. It's literally a molecule, and it undergoes reactions with other structures.
I understand you want to deny the reality that it's a code. Because it's a blow to your worldview. It's like, wait a minute.
It's really not. Even if it were a code, I could just as easily say it was aliens or that Scientology is true.
That's fine.
Whatever. I mean, okay. Yeah. Well, no God required.
Well, that just begs the question, who created the aliens?
Right. And if we don't know, we should assume it's God.
I mean, I assume it's God.
Yeah, but for no good reason.
But can I quote to you again for like the 10th time from Hubert Yahki, from his book, Information Theory, Evolution, and the Origin of Life?
I've heard it a million times.
So why do you disagree with someone who's an expert in the field?
That it's like literally a code? Because it literally isn't. Codes aren't real things. They're just ideas that exist in our brains. And we make them, and we choose to describe them in those terms. But then you take something, like I'm okay with saying like the data inside of a hard drive actually is a code. Cool. Because we know that's a code because we made it. To point to something in nature.
Exactly.
To point to something in nature that resembles it in some sense, and then to say that is also a code is a reach.
Okay, listen, my friend.
I'm not. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, you're not. But okay, but
you don't even know what I was gonna say.
All right, go ahead. What were you gonna say?
It doesn't matter.
All right, so. In biology textbooks, and I have a whole list of references here, when it mentions that the DNA code or genetic code, it doesn't have code in quotations. It just reads code.
Yeah, I know.
Right? Because it's literally a code.
It's a useful analogy.
It's not an analogy. It's not a metaphor. It's a literal code.
Do you think Earth has titties?
Like breasts?
No, titties.
What is that supposed to, like, is that like a word for something else?
No.
Okay, well, what is it?
Do you think Earth has titties?
Like, no, it doesn't.
Oh, so you deny the existence of Mother Nature then. That's interesting. You know, like, literally millions of people write books and they describe nature in those terms. It's literally a female.
Okay.
Yeah. See what I did there?
Not really. That went over my head.
I know.
All right. Well, I'm sorry that you deny the truth that DNA contains a code. But I guess I'll just, get going. You have a good day, okay?
No.
What?
I don't know. I was thinking we could talk about evolution, but you can do whatever you want. It is your special holy day, so.
We could talk about evolution. So, like, why do you believe that your ancestors were fish?
Because we share DNA with them, and that's how you tell if you're related to something.
But could it be that we just come from a common designer, intelligent designer?
Could it be that it was aliens?
Maybe, but then I'll obey the question, where did the aliens come from?
Well, we wouldn't need to know where the aliens come from, because the aliens are the description of where we came from.
But if aliens...
The only question we're trying to answer is, why do we share DNA with fish? So, evolution predicted that all life on this planet would be related, and all life on this planet is related. It would have been... I had this exact same conversation yesterday. It would have been so easy to disprove evolution, because according to whatever you believe, no life on this planet would really be related. There would maybe be some like splintering off of like subspecies recently or whatever, but organisms that don't resemble each other like at all would be completely unrelated, separate creations. Instead, they're related, and they're related exactly to the degree you would think they would be. We are most closely related to these animals and less closely related to those and less closely related to those, so on and so forth.
Yeah, okay. But why is it that like paleontologists will say that there are no smooth, gradual, transitional fossils? I have numerous upon numerous quotes from paleontologists who say that the fossil record does not support of transitional fossils that animals evolved from a prior different species. Like, let me give you an example, right?
Do you have just a, do you have like the actual book, or do you just have a single line? Because you know that somebody can be, a sentence can be embedded within a paragraph where they're, where they're really not saying what you think they are just based on the sentence.
I mean, I think that's what they're saying. Like, it's not taken out of context or anything like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, this is from Niles Eldridge from Columbia University, American Museum of National History. Does that name sound familiar, Niles Eldridge?
Yeah, he and Stephen Jay Gould came up with punctuated equilibrium.
Yeah, and this is what he wrote, and I quote, "He, Darwin, prophesied that future generations of paleontologists would fill in these gaps by diligent search. 120 years of paleontological research later, it has become abundantly clear that the fossil record will not confirm this part of Darwin's prediction. Nor is the problem a miserably poor record. The fossil record simply shows that this prediction was wrong," end quote.
Right. So you know that Niles Eldridge believes in evolution, right?
Well, of course. It's like a sacred cow. You can't, like, not believe in the sacred cow, right?
Okay, so why would you use an argument, a quote from somebody who believes in that Earth is billions of years old, that life has evolved, to make a counter-evolution argument?
Because the fossil record is something that should support the evolution fairy tale, yet it doesn't.
Well, it fully supports it. It doesn't necessarily, like in all cases, support it. Because you don't understand what gradualism versus punctuated equilibrium is.
Yeah, speaking of punctuated equilibrium, Stephen Gould, he postulated that because he had a come up with a ad hoc explanation for the reason why fossils just immediately appear within a time frame, right? So he had to come up with that to explain away the fact that gradualism is not real.
Right. So there's too many things to talk about with respect to this. Do you expect that we should be able to find an example of every single thing that ever existed in the fossil record?
I would expect to see some, like at least some of it. Yeah. I mean, that's what that at was predicted.
At least some of it. Now compare that to a book that's 500 pages long. What would at least some of the pages, how many pages would a book that has at least some of the pages in it have?
I don't understand your question.
Okay, so let's take like the Bible, for example. Let's say we find a Bible from like the year like 200, extremely, extremely early, right? Let's say that it's missing about, I don't know, a third of the text, right? Do you think that therefore we should assume that the rest of the text was the entirety of all the rest of the text either was completely invented after the fact, or do you think we should assume that those missing pieces was just the Barney the Dinosaur theme song written over and over again, but for some reason those parts disintegrated?
Yeah.
Do either of those really make sense?
Yeah, that doesn't really make sense.
But right. So the fossil record, we're never going to have every single thing that ever existed. But, so there are going to be jumps in it. But that doesn't mean that the fossil record doesn't support evolution, because we don't have to have everything or even close to everything to support the idea. For example, sure. The fossil record is made entirely of things that don't exist anymore. There are like maybe three or four examples. But if you go far enough back, they completely disappear as well. But if the animals that were living a very long time ago were completely different animals than we have today, but animals come about through, you know, doing that, then that means the animals of today are the descendants of species that were different in the past. That's what the fossil record tells us.
Okay. By the way, your chat, they're like big bullies, man. What's wrong with your fan base?
I don't know. That, like, chill out, guys.
Yeah, stop bullying a Christian, y'all. Don't be Christian phobic. But yeah, I mean, Stephen Gold, he even said that the fossil record doesn't support evolution, right?
No, he said it doesn't support gradualism.
Yeah, but he knows that there is no transitional fossils, right?
That's 100% false. We have an extremely good record of like whale evolution, for example.
I don't know about that, but can I give you another
quote? You should buy my book and read about it.
Can I give you a quote by Stephen Gold, who was a heavyweight in the world of paleontology?
Yeah, and who believes in evolution. So this quote is not is not going to imply that evolution doesn't occur.
Okay, but you're telling me something, but the experts in the field are saying something else. So
No, you're misunderstanding what they're saying. Go ahead. What's the quote?
There's an incongruence here. So, and I quote, this is from Stephen Gold, a professor of geology and paleontology of Harvard University. He passed away several years ago, but this is his quote. The absence of fossil evidence for intermediary stages between major transitions in organic design, indeed, our inability, even in our imagination, to construct functional intermediates in many cases, has been a persistent and nagging problem for gradualistic accounts of evolution, end quote.
Yep.
Do you agree?
Been a thorn in the side for gradualistic accounts of evolution. He believed in punctuated equilibrium, which is the idea that species fairly dramatically change in relatively short periods of time. So let me give you an example of what punctuated equilibrium sort of is. So giraffes today have very, very, very long necks, right?
Sure do. Mm-hmm.
Okay. The idea of gradualism is that the ancient giraffe ancestor, it's just that every, whatever, 1,000 generations, the average neck just very slowly, incrementally worked its way up to the height where it currently is. Whereas punctuated equilibrium would say, no, the ancient giraffe ancestors, their necks on average were only about this long, but because populations vary, you know, there's some are shorter, some are longer, but the average is right here. And then for whatever reason, usually because of dramatic changes in like the environment or whatever, in a very short period of time, which even hundreds of years is the blink of an eye in geologic time, they evolve or whatever into a population where the necks get significantly longer in a short period of time and then sort of stay there for a while. And then boom, it's a stair step instead of a ramp. That's what punctuated equilibrium
is. I've heard these ad hoc explanations before, but there are life forms, many organisms actually, that have been anatomically the same, just in pretty much, what do they call them? Like living fossils or just like fossils embedded in
ginkgo trees and a couple of species of horseshoe crab. And the coelacanth isn't really a good example because the ones in the fossil record are actually different species of them.
And we have organisms like almost perfectly preserved in what do they call it? Ember sap, right?
And, yeah, like insects and stuff. I've seen these people say, where's the evolution?
Yeah, where's the evolution? Like,
have you sequenced its DNA? Do you know that it's actually identical?
I don't know, but it's like
nobody has.
It's anatomically, like, and physically indistinguishable from creatures that are today. So you're telling me after 100 million years have elapsed that this species has not changed at all, not even a tad bit, even after all the cataclysmic events that happened on Earth supposedly over the last 100 million years?
So we have no idea if they're actually the same species or if they haven't evolved at all, because we have absolutely no clue what their DNA structure is.
Actually, they have sequenced the DNA. It's like very similar. I have all my notes on my life. I can't find it.
The oldest DNA sample we've ever recorded is something like 50,000 years, if that. So we certainly don't have it from an insect from the Triassic period. Trapped in amber. That's not a thing.
It seems like there's no way to falsify evolution, because no matter
no matter what, we have millions of species. And you're telling me this one spider looks like it hasn't changed. Therefore, throw out the entire thing.
No matter what evidence is brought forth that contradicts the whole evolution narrative, anything that goes against their predictions, they'll just come up with another explanation to save their sacred cow.
Yeah, like intelligent design.
Like, for instance, when they discovered like dinosaur soft tissue, right? Fossilized soft tissue, right? They're like, oh my goodness, I couldn't believe that soft tissue can last for over 65 million years.
Yeah, we didn't know yet, and now we know.
So now they're going to change their idea of like how long like soft tissue can last.
I mean, you really need to buy my book so you don't say silly things like this. So we didn't know that soft tissue could last that long because we had never discovered it. Then when we made a discovery, unlike you guys, we change our minds when we find new discoveries. But you can't tell how old something is based on does it have fragments of collagen fibers still embedded within it. We have dating techniques like radiometric dating and stuff like that. And those results hold true. What was the other thing I was going to say? We know, so if these dinosaur bones or whatever are only 4,000 years old, then finding soft tissue should be the norm instead of the exception. So there are bog bodies. I don't know if you've ever heard of them before, but you find them like in the UK or whatever. They're bodies that were just thrown into these swampy, marshy areas. And we know exactly how old they are because we can find like artifacts that date them archaeologically. So we know they're from time periods going back several thousand years. Not a single one of those bog bodies displays even the tiniest fragment of fossilization, despite the fact that they're buried in the perfect conditions for it. They're underwater, within sediment, buried in sediment underwater. Those bog bodies are as old as the flood narrative or whatever, which supposedly explains the fossil record. But they don't resemble what we see in the fossil record, even in the slightest.
But you know that there has been other discoveries of like dinosaur flesh, dinosaur soft tissue, not just from like, I think the most famous one was from Mary Schweitzer, but there has been other discoveries.
Yeah, that's cool and that's interesting, and that's not how you tell how old something is.
Right. So that doesn't like make you question, is the whole evolution narrative really true? Have you ever even questioned it at least like once in your lifetime? Like, maybe I should just not be following what people say. Maybe I should be analytical and critical about what I'm taught and see if this what they're saying is like really factual.
Yeah, I would say that I do that. It's just that finding some collagen fibers doesn't threaten the entire scientific enterprise which has built up our body of knowledge about fossils. For example, we have radiometric dating, which yields consistent true results for how old these things are. You don't tell how old something is based on do you find some soft tissue within it or not. And the structure of the fossil record completely supports evolution too, because what you find are entire groups and genres of animals and plants and whatever that don't coexist. Nobody's ever found a trilobite fossil, and we have millions of them mixed among dinosaur fossils because they didn't exist at the same time. Nobody's ever found dinosaur fossils with anything from the Pleistocene era because they didn't coexist. We have found mass fossil graveyards all over the planet, such as the La Brea Tar Pits and Ashfall in Nebraska, and the Hot Springs, South Dakota, where I was born, actually. There's a mammoth site there. And you find lots of different critters in there, but never anything that surprises us with regard to, what? A rabbit inside the belly of a T-Rex? That would completely ruin the theory of evolution, just like the genetic thing we went over earlier, that would have immediately debunked everything we thought about evolution. But it didn't. None of these results ever do that. And you don't use a statistical outlier to claim, oh, this explains everything.
Yeah, I see. So would you say, like, stasis, right, when it comes to, like, certain organisms, don't you think that is kind of like, this whole evolution thing is kind of questionable? Because I could give you, like, tons of examples of stasis when it comes to, like, certain organisms. Like, this...
Like horseshoe crabs?
The organism is, like, 100 million years old, right? But the body plan, like, for instance, I have my notes here. It says, yeah, so 100 million years of stasis for the bee body plan.
The body plan? Well, that's...
It says right here, researchers at Oregon State University have discovered the oldest bee ever known. A 100 million year old specimen preserved in almost lifelike form in amber. And it's completely identical to modern bees.
Okay, the body plan, like head, abdomen, thorax, stinger, compound eyes, whatever.
I mean, it looks fuzzy. It looks the same.
That doesn't... Yeah, okay. And sharks have... The body plan of sharks has been like that for 400 million years. But we know that the sharks of the past are not the same sharks we have today. And for that bee, yeah, sure, the body plan...
How do you know that?
Well, because for sharks, they look completely different. There's no Helicoprion and there's no Megalodon running around, and there's others that one had like a satellite dish looking dorsal fin. Those don't exist anymore. Okay. But the bee, like these, have you ever seen photographs of these like insects and stuff trapped in amber?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. you really can't make out a lot of details. Because they're buried in the amber and it's messy.
No, it's not, some of them you can see like details. It looks like...
Yeah. Some, but we certainly don't have the DNA, so we have no idea if they're actually like genetically unchanged or anything like that. But there's nothing wrong with the idea of a body plan sticking around for millions of years.
Right. But you believe that human beings, like modern human beings, evolved like drastically in a very fast, I guess, rate in the last like several million years, though, right?
I mean, I wouldn't call that that millions of years doesn't sound super fast. We'll get into that in just a second, but I really want to point something out really important here, that what you're doing makes absolutely no sense, because what you're doing is, look, I found this article that says bees have not changed that much in 100 million years.
Or at all.
Therefore, life on the planet is only 6,000 years old.
That's like, not what I'm saying. I'm just...
Well, that's what
I'm
you think.
Trying to, like, figure out. I'm just trying to understand all these discrepancies, because on one hand, you guys say, yes, evolution happens for us. It happened for us, right? Like, very drastically. That's how we got to modern humans from whatever, prior human organism that was prior to humans, right? But for all these other creatures, even for like 50 plus million years, they haven't changed, not even a tiny bit, at least anatomically.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Kind of, but what I'm trying to tell you is that these arguments don't support what you actually believe, which is that life was created only a few thousand years ago. It doesn't do that at all.
Okay, but I didn't make that assertion. I'm just like
poking. Yeah, but that's what you believe.
Okay, but I'm not making that argument right now. I'm just like showing the holes in this whole evolution fairy tale. What I believe to be a fairy tale.
Okay. So human evolution?
Yeah, what about human evolution?
Well, you brought it up a little bit ago before I said that other thing.
Yeah, so there would have to be like some or a lot of anatomical changes to get to like modern humans from like whatever prior human species, right? Like at least some, right?
Not I mean, not super dramatic. It's really just changes in proportion, not like whole scale changes in like what the thing actually is.
Okay, but then I'll say, well, how come these other creatures, these other organisms, hasn't changed, not even a tiny bit, at least. Anatomically, for the past like 50 million years, we have so many examples of this.
Do you know what survival of the fittest means?
Yes, I do.
What does it mean?
It means those that survive get to pass on their they have traits that allow them to survive and pass on their genes.
Sort of. So what it means is the organisms that have the greatest fitness, or in other words, organisms that like fit well into their environment, do the best and then do all those things you said. So some environment, like horseshoe crabs, they live off of continental shelves, you know, which is just like the shallow-ish waters just off the coast of continents. That really doesn't change all that dramatically over even vast periods of time, because water is water, the salinity is the salinity.
Okay, so
yes, there are some temperature fluctuations and things like that. We did have an extinction event, but we can kind of tell by the fossil record that the horseshoe crabs that made it through it are the ones that were living basically on the opposite side of the globe when it happened. They've since been able to migrate around the world, which isn't that surprising because it's been tens of millions of years, but some environments remain stable, and so you wouldn't, like, there's no reason that an organism must evolve if its environment isn't changing. Sometimes they do, but...
Well, yeah, I mean, there has been drastic environmental changes over the last, like, 100 million years, right? I'm talking about really drastic. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Yet these organisms are still the same even after... supposedly 100 million years. So how is that possible? that is my question. And
because because not every change is a global change. Like, well, when there were
changes, weren't there a supposed meteorite hitting the Earth 65 million years ago, which led to the extinction of dinosaurs?
Yeah, it didn't affect the entire planet in the same way. Like that is an example of a global event. There aren't a ton of global events. There have only been a few of those, I would say, in Earth's history. But
okay, this is an article I just found on my notes. It says here, in fossil shows daddy long legs remain unchanged. This is from MSNBC. We learned scientists amazed. 3D images show harvest men nearly still the same after 300 million years. And I quote, "It is absolutely remarkable how little that harvest men have changed in appearance since before the dinosaurs." Study researcher Russell Garwood of Imperial College London said in a statement, "If you went out into the garden and found one of these creatures today, it would be like holding a little bit of prehistory in your hands." Like what, 300 million years and nothing, no evolution? Okay. Yeah.
Again, we haven't sequenced their genome. I'm trying to read the article on National Geographic, but I can't remember my password or whatever. We don't know what their DNA is. So we don't know if they've gone completely unchanged or anything like that. It's kind of like tuataras. Tuataras are these cute little reptiles that live in New Zealand. And we have fossils of them from the Jurassic period. And we say, oh my God, they look the same. Well, like their bone structure, like their body structure looks the same. But when we look at tuataras today, we actually see that they have the fastest evolving DNA of any vertebrate that we know about.
What's the name of the organism again?
Tuatara.
Tuatara.
Yeah. Tuatara, I think. So just because they look the same, it can be a case of convergent evolution. It could be a case of, they could like have kind of the same body structure, but it wouldn't mean that there haven't been significant changes like to their physiology or whatever. or some organisms remaining static through time because they live in an environment that is relatively consistent, that's really not a problem for evolution.
So would you admit that at least that this is something that evolutionists did not predict, right? So they had
probably not necessarily, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, and that's like another issue I have. Like,
okay,
they come up with these predictions, right? And they discover like, this contradicts our predictions. That's not like real science, right? Because science, it's about making predictions and making discoveries that affirms though your predictions, right?
Sure, and the vast majority do. Again, this is what I said earlier. You don't take statistical outliers and then say, aha, this explains the full set of data that I have. That's like concluding humans are 7 feet tall because Shaquille O'Neal is 7 feet tall. If I said to you, the average adult male is 5'10", and then you said, what about Shaquille O'Neal? I would say, yeah, the average is still 5'10". And with these fossils or whatever, how many of these are there? Let's go crazy and say there's 1,000. There aren't, but let's go crazy and say there's 1,000. Well, we have 1.5 million documented species today. So it's less than 0.1%. And of the organisms that are in the fossil record, I don't know how many fossil organisms we've documented. I'm sure it's a huge number. I doubt it's 1 million, but the vast majority of those are different from the life we see today.
Sure. Okay. All right. I'm curious. What is your educational background?
I have a bachelor's degree in biology. I have a master's degree in education, but pretty much all the stuff I know about evolution, I learned on my own from YouTube and, books.
Fair enough. Well, I have church, so I have to get going. But next time I'll bring I'll come back with all my ammo because I have all these stuff that refutes evolution in my notes. I just can't find it right now. I'll come with you with all the ammo next time.
Bring that smoke. I want all that smoke, Jamal.
All right, take care.
Later.